All right. Who started the countdown, and how early did you start the countdown for Christmas? I started October. I'll be honest about it. Now, y'all didn't. When I was a little kid, I started in July. I'm going to be real honest. And we had like the full dates and everything like that counted out. What about Cadence? When did you start the countdown? You started the countdown yet? Yes. Good. Good. Very good. Clint, what about you? When did you start the countdown? Oh, come on. Where's your Christmas spirit, y'all? No, I'm just kidding. But no, it starts to get really hectic, you know? We start counting down the season, trying to get through Thanksgiving and all the family. I remember when I was a little kid, I hated Thanksgiving because it just meant I had three more weeks until Christmas. That has changed now, thank God. Praise God, he changed me on that one. But I was so focused on the good feelings of Christmas, you know, with the Christmas movies, all the feel-good. Is anybody here a Hallmark Christmas movie fan? Oh, damn, don't worry. There's salvation for you. Do not worry. We will preach about that today. My dad is a major Hallmark Christmas movie fan, and I make fun of him for it a lot, but that's okay. We love him anyways. But we start getting all the songs, the movies, the foods, all the sweets, the colors, even all the hanging of the green services. It starts to get pretty busy. And later tonight, when we start lighting the Advent candles, we'll start with peace. We start looking at the peace of Christmas. And it's really interesting because if y'all think about it, we've commercialized Christmas so much, me included. It's one of the most stressful times of the year, isn't it? How many of y'all have family that come in for a good old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas? Yeah, yeah. It's the most stressful thing ever. I remember I was telling Josh this earlier. My uncle, who is not Richard, but his name is Mark. He was a pastor. He's over in Prague right now, but he was at Bristol for like 5 or 6 years. And so him, his wife, and then his three sons, they would come in and spend Christmas Day, like after he finished up his church services, or that night, and he would stay Christmassy, like Christmas night, and then maybe like 2 days after that. So let's just do some math here about that. We have him, his wife, and then his three sons, so that's five people already, and then we have my mom and dad, then me and my sister, and then my grandmother. So that is 10 people in a house built for four. Let's just let that sink in there. Yeah. Now, it wasn't like the Griswold family Christmas of how they were fighting every morning or lighting the Christmas tree or the lights doing the drum roll with everything like that. Who all has here seen Christmas Vacation? You never thought you'd see Christmas Vacation referenced in a sermon before, but, you know, I like to push the boundaries, but that's okay. But it gets busy, stressful, and we start to lose the sight of Jesus. And I do that all the time, and I forget about the peace of the gospel. Now, Jesus obviously did not have Christmas the same way it was back then. We don't even know if he was actually born on December 25th. A lot of people think he was actually born in the summer. But that's where we've just placed it on our calendars. And really, the message of Jesus when we're talking about peace, he's talking about staying alert. Because when you're staying in a peaceful mindset, notice you're more alert about things. Is that true? Would y'all say that's true? I've noticed when I'm more in a peaceful mindset, my mind is more focused, more seeing what's going on in the world around me. And that's very hard for me because I have extreme tunnel vision when it comes to my ADD. So you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with peace? Well, let's look at what the scripture says. If you want to read along, it's going to be in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, obviously, this is written by Paul here. Romans was written by Paul. He's the one who is really credited with most of the New Testament. And you would think this would just be a classic Paul warning, because in the city of Rome during this time period, he's addressing all of the idolatry that is going on there. You see, the Romans, they're like the Greeks. They have a god for every single thing you could think of. I mean, the Greeks even have a statue for an unknown god, just to make sure they have all their bases covered, to worship him. And the Romans were following that. And what he's talking about here is saying, kind of the classic message of, you would think of, he's coming back soon, just be ready. Well, yes, while we believe that Jesus is coming back, there's a little different of a message here. Something that has to do more with the idea of peace. And let's see how that works out. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What's he talking about here? What references can we look at in Scripture? Well, really, you have to go back and look at the gospel itself. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, excuse me. He starts going into the day and hour unknown. That's the subheading on my Bible here. And again, we're probably all thinking, what does this have to do with Christmas? Well, Jesus, when he's talking about the end times, rather than saying a specific day or time, he's saying, be ready, for it is coming. In these scriptures here, he talks about all these signs, all these things that will happen. But in verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at the time of night that the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. It would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now see, regardless of our belief, because everyone here has different beliefs in this room, I'm sure, about the end times of Jesus coming back, whether it's going to be a thief in the night, or if it's going to be a cloud of glory, this final battle that we see in Revelation. The main thing that he is telling us here is to be alert. And not just for the alert of a returning king, but be alert on what's going on around us. So let's take that back into today's standards, about this season that we are in, about peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that allows us to be alert in our daily lives. It allows us to see what's going on around us. I'm sure with all the stories, Tina, in your school, all the trouble that kids face today, all the heartbroken homes that they have around them, that they have going on. That's what it's talking about. The peace of God is being alert. So when we are in this Christmas season about peace, we have to be alert for what's going on around us. As I was driving back this morning from Knoxville, I thought I had overslept my alarm. So, you know, I'm speeding, getting ready. Made it fine. You can ask Herb. I always get here early. But what I noticed was there's always this spot on the interstate near my house where people go that say they're homeless. Now, Knoxville has a homeless problem. It has a severe homeless problem, and it's starting to move outward in West Knoxville. So I was driving by. This is going to make me tear up. And I see this sign. Not asking for money, but just asking for some clothes. Asking for a hot meal. Because you know there's the thing of saying, let's not give them money, but give them a meal. Well, this person was actually asking for a hot meal, a hot breakfast. And in my chaotic state of that morning, of this morning, when I saw them, here's the worst part. It was at a red light. And I'm only telling you guys this because it's my job too, while preaching, it's my job to be real. I drove right past them. Didn't even think about it. Mind you, I'm coming here to preach about peacefulness, about alertness in our communities, and I didn't see it. I was so focused on one thing. Like we've talked about before, how we get tunnel vision, we stay focused on one thing, we miss the big picture. I miss that. And notice, I'm starting to use this in a sermon, happened this morning. And the reason I'm saying this, the reason it's hurt me so much is because the four big things about Christmas we have on these Advent candles. First, starting with the peace of God. I rejected that peace, so I missed out on an opportunity to love somebody. Because I rejected God's peace, the thing I was so sure about going to talk about this morning, I missed it. So that brings into question then. Do you ever go through the times? I remember when I was in high school, always the question of, am I really saved, you know? Where do you grow up? And I'm sure, I don't know how people feel about that today now, but I'm sure we all have identity crisis. Am I really saved? Am I doing enough? Well, for me, that's the question of, do I really have the peace of God? How do I know that I have the peace that we talk about this Christmas season? Well, the first way to get that peace for ourselves before we can give that peace out is by simply asking for forgiveness. Me and my dad always have this, we have this thing called, let's talk man to man. When one of us is messed up and we want to be honest with each other. I had one of those moments with God this morning. Talk man to man, I just say, God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that you gave the best opportunity to love someone and I basically just threw it right back in your face, saying I don't have time. I wasn't alert enough. And you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but I'm sure, I don't know your life struggles, if you've ever been homeless or anything like that, but I'm sure there have been times in your life where you felt like when you were asking for help from a person, from anybody, it was just thrown right back in your face. Well, see, in order to get rid of that pain, we ask God, once we've accepted Jesus, accepted that he was born for us, we ask him for forgiveness. And when we let go of those things, when we let go of the sadness or the anger at ourselves, that is where we get the peace. That is where we see the God of peace and understanding. I was at Inglewood seeing Richard for his first day back in Inglewood because he did a 5-year, he was appointed somewhere else for 5 years but came back. Can't remember if he went to Inglewood after here or not. I don't remember the exact timeline. But it was the same Sunday that was my first Sunday here. I went to go visit him. And his sermon was on the God of peace, joy, and understanding. And he talked about giving our anxieties to God. And I can tell y'all first right now, I have major anxiety. It is very hard for me to find peace. I'm sure you see that every morning when I just come in, just jumping around side to side. But then with this Christmas season, with peace, we start talking about peace to the world, peace of men, all these Christmas carols. In order to truly experience that, we ask for forgiveness or just for help, or we simply ask God for it. Because I'm a firm believer that God does not hold anything back from us. So, this Christmas season, let's start by asking for peace. Do the world peace like the hippies from the 70s. But that's not what we're reading really to. We want peace in the world, but there's something deeper than that. Inner peace and peace among our neighbors. That's how we start the Christmas season. Forgetting the countdowns, forgetting the stress of the Griswold family Christmas, always counting down the days of, oh gosh, they're going to be here. Please let me be ready, Lord. Instead of focusing on that, let's start by focusing on the peace. Jesus was born for us. God sent his only son. And this is the season that we remember that. Remember that when we're asking for peace, after we accept that forgiveness. The real way to let that peace in is remembering Jesus was born for us. He's born for me. He's born for you. He's born for everyone outside of these walls. So let's take that peace and be alert. Instead of having a list of, okay, this Christmas I got to get them a gift, I got to bake them cookies, got to do all these things for the season that we think we're supposed to do. Like, for example, my family, our Christmas threw up in our front yard in the living room with all the decorations. I'll show y'all pictures next week because we'll be finished after that. But instead of doing all those things, even though we're setting up, having the feel-good times, feeling like we have to do these things, Jesus is asking us for us to stay alert. Not keep a list of duties, but keep a list of things we want to do through the peace of God. Like for me, it would have been simply loving on that person when I had the chance this morning. In my prayer each week, each Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, for everyone in this room, is that we always find someone else to give the love of God to. Whether that's bringing them here or just spreading out in the world. Not even talking about church, but just loving them. So this week, let's find someone to give the peace to and show the peace of the Christmas season. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.